it's another edition of Library Guys
and Gals
Go to the Movies. I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Disclaimer, don't say we didn't warn you. This episode contains spoilers. So if you've wanted to watch this movie but haven't yet, we recommend listening to our podcast afterwards. Thanks so much. And now on to Library Gals Go to the Movies.
All right. So welcome back to Library Gals Go to the Movies. Hello, Katie.
Hello, Via.
Since we are on our second episode of us being solo, and for the first episode, we chose to completely depress you with our movie choices. this month we decided to do the exact opposite of the spectrum, and we are doing musicals and musical movies.
Yay!
So very, very kitschy, very, very lighthearted. We've got some good ones for you, some very interesting ones. Are you a fan of musicals in general, Katie?
I am kind of a fan of musicals. I have a love-hate relationship with them. Uh-huh. When I was in college and high school, I was really, 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 really into the Broadway production of Rent.
Sweet, yeah.
I went and saw that show all across the country. I loved it. I listened to the soundtrack all the time. And then when the movie came out, I mean, I really liked that movie. But I realized that some things I like and better seeing live on stage than translated into movies.
Yeah.
So I don't seek out musicals very often, I would say. But, you know, there are a handful that I really, really enjoy. What about you?
Nice. Yeah, I am a recovering theater kid since
Same.
Like, grade school. Yes. So it's always going to be in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I like musicals. There are definitely some that I absolutely hate. Like, I'm not like a fanatic about musicals. Rent is my second favorite musical. Love Rent. Never got to see it until two or three years ago. They did it in Columbus. That was the first time I got to see it. So that was very cool. I was really excited. And yeah, I own the movie, so I like them both, but I totally understand what you mean about the live performance. You know, that's what they're for. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like that whole, like, oh, you read a book and then the movie's not quite the same. So, but, yeah, I've seen a couple. I've seen Phantom. You're going to make fun of me for this, but my favorite musical of all time is Cats.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Yeah. But
tell
not
me what the appeal is.
Yeah. Not the atrocity that was the like celebrity endorsement remake that we had, like the older version. So, and I understand like that the musical like makes no sense to a lot of people, but I don't know. There's something like I saw it. This is going to make me sound really old.
Oh, please.
I know, right? And then I'm like, wait, like we're all adults like listening to this podcast probably. So I just like offended a lot of people. But no, I remember like watching PBS as a kid and like just one night Cats was on and I just like watched it mesmerized. And I was like, oh my God, I love Cats. And, you know, that just kind of like grew with me. And we actually got to do Cats at my high school. So I got to like be in spandex and like run around pretending to be a cat.
Did your character have a name?
No, I was an understudy for Demeter, who's one of the two cats that sings like the song about McCavity, who's like the evil cat in it. It sounds so stupid to describe. but I was a chorus cat, like besides that. So the good thing about that though is if you do that as a show, and even if you are just one of the like chorus people and you don't have like a character, you're in like every scene because that whole show is pretty ensemble. So it's honestly a great, like if you like, you know, want to have a great role still in a musical and don't want to just be like on the sidelines except for like a few scenes, then that's the one to do.
That makes it perfect. Did you say you were in high school?
Yeah. Yep.
So that makes it a perfect high school production because that means that a lot more kids can be involved. So you don't have to, you know, just cast the five main characters and not have space for anyone else. Like it grows well with a large cast of kids, I feel like.
Exactly.
All right. So this is so off topic, but because you mentioned cats, I need you to explain to me what jellicle means.
Oh, God. I have no idea.
Oh, good.
All I know is, like, yeah, they have that song describing what Jellicle cats are. That's about I can just like give you the lyrics to that and be like, this is what it is. They're just special cats. They think they're cats that think they're better than other cats and people.
Got it.
And then they've got like the Heaviside Lair, which is like the place that like the one cat gets to choose to like go to and like ascend or something. And mm-hmm. like it really just looks like the cat dies. Like it looks like the cat just like goes up to heaven or something. And I'm just like, is this really like the gift? So I don't really know what that is either. It's just, I have no idea why I like the musical.
Awesome.
I was a messed up kid. I don't know. I have no idea. I like cats. I'm a cat person. That's why.
Excellent.
But yeah, the other, we did another musical that I did in my high school that I absolutely hate, movie two, is West Side Story. Mm. I am not a fan.
No.
But also, I've always hated Romeo and Juliet, which is essentially what that is. So it makes sense to me. I just never liked, I don't buy it.
Sure. No, I totally get it.
I don't buy that love story.
So the movies that we picked to talk about tonight, they are musicals, but not in the traditional Broadway sense of mm-hmm. musical. So they are two feature films that heavily focus on music. And they actually, again, have very strong similarities between the two of them. I feel like there are some good comparisons between these two films. Do you want to talk about the first one that we watched?
Sure. I was going to say, yeah, I think the two we chose, the one that I chose was called Bang Bang Baby. And that one I feel like is a little more of an attempted to be a musical, whereas the other one that Katie chose was Hearts Beat Loud, which was more of a music-inspired movie that does actually, it does have music in it, and it's excellent. But yeah, so Bang Bang Baby, you can find this on one of the library apps we have called Canopy, where you get, oh gosh, I should know this because I work at the library, but you get up to, what is it, 10 or 8 free?
I think it is 8.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Because I haven't watched very many. I think I'm down to 6, so I need to watch more on there now. But yeah, so you get 8 free movie watches a month, and then it resets. And they've got some really cool stuff on there, so I highly recommend. And if you like the sound of this one, check it out on Canopy. All you need is a library card to get on there to make an account. But Bang Bang Baby is a weird movie. Of course, yes. That's why I chose it, of course. But basically in a parallel version of a 1960s small town, there's a girl named Steffi who, you know, is that typical girl that dreams of being a star and escaping from her hometown and her life, taking care of her drunk father, who used to be a musician himself. Her mother's passed away, or they just really say she's gone. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if she ran away or if she passed away, but they make it seem like that. But yeah, so that's going on. She's trying to find that out. She's obsessed with this I guess, actor / singer named Bobby, who lives in Hollywood and just has those dreams. And then she, as well as the town, end up finding out that something weird is going on at their town's chemical plant that is causing, yep, complete left turn here, chemical plant that's causing mutations in people and animals in the town. So yeah, they're basically, it's figuring out what is going on with that while following kind of Steffi's personal story. So yeah, this was
a trip. This movie was a riot.
Really trippy movie, yeah. It's kind of like, it was like a 1960s movie mixed with the Twilight Zone. Mm. Yeah. A Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah. So I would suggest for this movie watching the trailer. And if you make it through the trailer of this movie and you don't, like you aren't like scratching your head or completely turned off by what you see, then watch it. Like the trailer tells you exactly the tone of the movie because this movie is wild.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely agree.
Did you ever see the movie Crybaby?
No, I know what it is though.
So Crybaby has Johnny Depp is in Crybaby and it was directed by John Waters, who in his own right is a very strange director who has a very specific style. But the way I would describe Bang Bang Baby is if David Lynch directed Crybaby.
That's a good description. I haven't even seen Crybaby, and I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great description of that.
This very, you know, kind of saccharine town. Steffi is in her little sweater suit and her poodle skirt and wants to make it big in the music scene and is obsessed with Bobby Shore. And then the purple mist plant mutates the entire town and she just can't seem to get away.
She doesn't even, she knows something's going on, but she kind of is in denial of it for the most of the movie. Because the person that tells her is a guy that typical cutesy saccharine stuff, like all of the boys in town are in love with Steffi. Like everybody wants Steffi. But Fabian, is a guy that works at the, Purple Mist plant. And so he is attempting to tell her that this stuff is going on and she doesn't buy it. And also he's a super creepy dude, and a super terrible dude. And, he ends up like taking her out one night when she goes to like a school dance and she's had a rough night and wants to get out of there. He takes her to the plant, but then he also like rapes her. So that's fun. Again, we should not light dude this time. Yeah, super light.
Super light.
No, that's like I feel like that's like the darkest thing that happens. And it does like, you know, it carries out, but it's not like that's the worst thing that happens in here. So,
yeah.
But yeah, he's a super creep. So I think the only, I did not enjoy the music of this movie as much as I enjoyed the ones from Hearts Beat Loud. I love that music. These weren't as catchy to me, but they very much fit that style of when people like just start singing, like they're talking things. Like it's not like certain musicals have, okay, like we're about to do a song and we've done our dialogue, and then certain more modern musicals, I feel like they just start like talking, like they're talking and all of a sudden they're singing like the same sentence and they just like go into saying whatever. That's a little bit like what this one was. But not to say I didn't like it. And as is always my favorite thing is when a musical movie has a title song that fits the song of, you know, the title of the movie. Mm-hmm. So I think my favorite song from the movie was called Bang Bang Baby. That was a really fun one. I weirdly liked the one that Fabian sang to Steffi when he was trying to get her again to come with him. And he was kind of, it was something like, even if you're mutated, I'll still love you. Like something like that's the basic gist of it. It's not what he says, like verbatim, but
yeah,
but it was one of those. Idea. It was like, even if you're a freak,
cause they're all freaks.
Yeah. They're all freaks now. So,
and it's the way that you're right. Like they have a lot of dialogue ends up turning into a song, and the musical numbers, some of them are very stylized. Like when they do sing Bang Bang Baby and they're at the tiki bar, and it becomes a whole musical number and everyone in the town is involved, because while Steffi is on her way home from this interaction with Fabian early on in the movie, Bobby Shore happens to be driving through town and ends up coming to stay with her because his car breaks down.
Bobby Shore.
Her alcoholic dad happens to own the only garage in town. So Bobby Shore, dreamy Bobby Shore, comes and stays with them. And yeah, I mean, it's so ridiculous. He's sort of like an Elvis character.
Yeah. I got a very strong vibe of like he was inspired by Link from Hairspray, you know, and it was like supposed to be that way. You know, it was like a stereotypical. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. So yeah, so he was very fun. And that was actually, Justin Chatwin. Yeah. He was played by Justin Chatwin, who I'm a fan of from, if you've ever seen, the American version of Shameless, he plays, he plays Jimmy Steve, which if you've seen the show, you understand that reference. Cause he is not always who he says he is, but yeah, he's one of my favorite characters in that show. Nice. So there were so many layers to Bobby Shore's character, because so Bobby Shore is like also in love with Steffi, but I never really could tell if it was fake and he was just like using her to build cool stuff in the town, or like, and that was also a lie and like he wanted to take her away. Mm-hmm. But then in the scene where there's a scene where Bobby writes a song for Steffi, and while he's singing it, his German friend who came along with him like gives him puppy eyes, and then when he turns away and starts singing to Steffi again, he gets really sad. And I was like, oh, okay, so we know like your friend likes you. And I was kind of like, so like are they together, and like he just pretends to like the ladies because he's like a heartthrob. Yeah. You know, there were some unexplored things.
Interesting.
There.
Well, yes. I had a moment too where I thought about how the way the timing of him showing up in town and the purple mist plant leak.
Yeah.
Was he even there? Like, was that real? Or did Steffi just dream it up and the whole town just kind of goes with it because they're all being slowly poisoned?
Right. Like, they're all crazy. I thought he was really there, but I suspected early on, and I was wrong, but I suspected early on that he might be involved with the chemical plant in some way, because one of the first nights he stays with her, he's like, all right, I'm going out for the day. I'll be back in the evening. Like, I'm going to go take a walk in the woods. And I'm like, all day. And then the way that it was filmed was really weird because it almost looks like he was taking his shoes off before he went outside. I guess he was putting them on, but yeah, he just leaves for the whole day and he's just like, all right, later, like, gonna go do sketchy stuff. And so I thought maybe he was in on it, and that's why he actually like had always planned to come to the town or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't happen, actually, so that's not part of it.
And the movie is super, super, super stylized, and like, there are scenes that are shot outside that look as if they were shot on an actual play, like stage, like they have painted backdrops. And so it's got a very stylized look. And I feel like part of that was probably a low budget way to make this movie. Mm-hmm. You know, probably a lot of scenes were shot in the same spot and they just changed out some of the backgrounds because there's not a whole lot to it. They don't go around. And also, if you watch really closely inside Steffi's house, when they're running around, I mean, it looks like a set built for a high school theater. When the dad's running down the stairs, the banisters are like swaying back and forth. Like, oh, this whole house is gonna collapse.
Oh yeah. I kind of like, when I was watching it, I was kind of like, I feel like I'm watching, up like a school play.
Mm-hmm.
And I also said, I guess like one of my only criticisms of it was that it's weird to describe it, but none of the actors sound like, their dialogue and their tone of voice, none of them sounded like they were from the 60s to me. Like the rest of the stuff was, you know, very stylistically made to be 60s,
mm-hmm.
but their voices threw me off because they sounded very modern. And there was even a point where Steffi tells somebody to get bent, and so I thought that was weird because I was like, did they even say get bent in the 60s?
Mm-hmm.
Because that sounded like, to me, I thought that was something that like came out in the 80s or something, but I looked it up.
Nice.
So fun fact. Get bent was originated on college campuses in the 60s.
So oh, nice.
They were spot on for that. Maybe the late 50s. Yeah, definitely. So get bent is fine. But yeah, there were like some other, just the way they talked, like didn't sound like, quite like they'd sound, you know, in real 60s movies. It was kind of like the movie never actually felt like there are some modern movies that are very good at making you think they were like that film stuff, like as it's filmed in the 70s, like they make it look like it and you actually feel like it could have been. This one was more like it never actually feels like the 60s. It's very aware that it's pretending to be the 60s. Like, it's like, that's like its kitschy appeal. Like, that's what it's going for, it felt mm-hmm. like.
So. Yeah. And then eventually the mutations get so bad that the entire town gets quarantined.
Yeah.
No. And
does that sound familiar?
It does, doesn't it? I feel like we should have watched this last year. Just as we're on our tail end of our own self-isolation periods, and this whole town gets quarantined.
And you've got people, like, some of the mutations are, like, a guy has a giant hand. A really good scene. There are a couple wedding scenes in the movie, and that's when you kind of get to see a lot of people that show up. It's very noticeable. There's, like, a guy with a giant puppet hand. There's a guy with, like, a bird beak and wings. My favorite one is not a person. My favorite mutation and character in this whole movie is Donkey Bird.
Donkey Bird! I have that written in my notes.
I love it. So yeah, like Steffi takes Bobby shooting and they hit something. And when they go to see what it is, it's literally, it's a donkey with like hawk or whatever wings, but it's like, it's a stuffed animal. It is a handmade stuffed animal donkey with wings like super glued onto it. And it is the best thing I've ever seen.
So great. It's so weird. And kind
so
of adorable.
Amazing. I love it.
So Fabian and Steffi end up spending more time together. Steffi's kind of stuck with Fabian after a while because after he rapes Steffi, she gets pregnant. and has a mutant baby that is the scariest
baby
I have ever seen.
Oh my gosh. It was freaking creepy. So the baby, the second she has it, they lift it up and it starts talking to her, and it looks like it looks like an adult man.
An old man.
But it's so freaking creepy.
It's the worst. And the baby is talking immediately. And instead of crying from a crib in another room, the baby just keeps saying, "Where are you? Don't leave me alone."
And that part was a little bit sad. That part was kind of like, all right, I get it. Funniest thing, so the first marriage that happens is between Steffi and Bobby. And literally, so they go, it's very quick. They get married. They go straight to Bobby's, I want to get it on. And Steffi's like, no. And I can't tell you why, because she doesn't want to reveal to him that she's mutated. And so then in one of the best, the funniest parts of the movie, she actually, I say that and then I think about what the scene was. So I'll explain. So they're on the bed. They're about to, do the sexy, and So they're about to do the sexy sex, and she has a PTSD flashback from when Fabian rapes her in the car. And so she punches out, thinking that, she's stuck with Fabian still, and accidentally punches Bobby in the face. So that part's not funny. The next part is funny. The Bobby reaction is funny. Let me make that clear. So Bobby gets up and is like, "Oh my God, my perfect face. Why do you," I wrote down the quote. "Why are you trying to make me ugly?" That's what he cared about the most. He was like, "Why are you trying to ruin my face?"
What?
So then his German friend comes in because he hears the ruckus, and he says the same thing. He's like, "Why don't you want him to be beautiful, Steffi? What is wrong with you?
Steffi, no."
So then they literally hop in the car and leave. They just got married, and he's like, "Peace out. I hate you. You tried to ruin my face. My moneymaker, I don't have time.
I'm out. I'm done."
And so, yeah, that's the ending of their deep, deep, soul brought together relationship.
Steffi, Bobby sure wasn't all he was cut out to be in the end anyways.
So then, yeah, she ends up living and having a horrible life with Fabian after that. And that's when the baby comes. So when you hear the baby crying in the end, she, goes in there and is, freaking out with it because it's a freaky baby. But then it says, what does it say? I don't want to be alone. Is that reasoning for crying out? And that is kind of what is her discovery moment of being oh my gosh, you're just a baby. It doesn't matter if you're mutated, and then suddenly that's what breaks the spell. The baby looks like a normal baby again. And not the freaking
the
adult
old man baby
from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Yes. I hate that movie too. And then the mist lifts and people go back to normal. The cheesy power of love and redemption,
Right. We're all back to normal now.
Yeah. But I thought the baby, it was supposed to be the happy moment, but I was actually kind of sad in that moment because the baby saying that and her wanting to take care of it reminded me a lot of her dad and why she was stuck taking care of her dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of that doesn't seem like a good thing, but also yay, love the baby.
Right. Yeah. And she, because she was spent her whole childhood basically taking care of her dad. And one thing we didn't talk about is her dad is a raging alcoholic, mm-hmm. and she has to keep going and getting moonshine for him off of the local town moonshiner, who also happens to be a former hand model. He's the guy who ends up
with medicine.
Needs his medicine. And so her being able to take her own kid out of the town that she's in and still continue to pursue her singing career as it may be, does end up, working out for her, because her whole thing is she wants to get out of their town, which maybe no surprise is in Canada.
Yeah, actually, I was surprised by that. I don't know if you were, but like, I just thought, you know, I don't know, when I think of like kitschy 1960s, I'm like, you know, U.S. idyllic small town. And then it was even like, I had the same reaction, like Bobby and his friend don't know where they are. And she's like, oh, actually, you're in Canada. I'm like, what? And that's when I was also like, wait, we're in Canada? All right.
Well, there's a really hilarious joke in there, though, because they're driving and he's like, oh, I didn't know this is what Kansas would look like. And
yeah,
she's like,
yeah.
Canada, not Kansas.
Yeah, like the Canadian government, before the curse is broken, like at one point it's just like, you're hopeless, you're quarantined. Here is some, they say something like, here is some government sanctioned free poison for if you decide that you don't want to live like this.
Right? We're done here. If you'd like to drink this poison, that's up to you. Right. Bye.
But don't worry, it doesn't cost anything. And part of me thought that was a little bit of like a dig, like comparing like Canadian healthcare versus U.S. healthcare. I was like, that's a good joke.
Oof.
But one of the other things, and this may be thinking way too deep about this movie, because I really feel like this movie isn't super deep.
Right. Yeah, I know. I wonder, I mean, I was looking and it doesn't look like this director has made any more movies. And this one was kind of, it's rather low rated on Rotten Tomatoes. And I don't think the director like went on to do anything else. So
yeah,
I do wonder how deep into the metaphor they got when they were making the movie.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it was a bad movie at all. Did I like your movie better? Yes. I liked your choice a lot better. Like your Hearts Beat Loud, like, touched my soul. This one was like entertaining. And I was kind of like I had a question mark on my face for a lot of the time, but it was fun. And I hate to say this would be great for a bad movie night, but I'm going to say that I'm going to say like, this is not a movie to really take that seriously. And it is, it's very low budget. But they're all great singers. You know, there's some fun songs in there. The storyline is very kooky. Jane Levy, that's her name, right? Who was I thinking of? Who's the other, who's the chick who played the coach on Glee?
Jane Lynch.
Lynch. Yeah. I was using them earlier when I was talking about this. But yeah, Jane Levy is in it, and, you might think she's familiar. Right now she's on a show called Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Okay.
And I love that show. I'm a fan of it. And it's on right now. She like can hear people in the show break out into musical songs to express their feelings, and only she can hear it.
Oh, nice.
So it's fun. It has a lot of good people in it too. And she was also in a TV show that sadly ended too early called Suburgatory. That was pretty good. And then I'm gonna do a horror movie tie-in. I feel like we should make that our challenge every episode.
Oh yeah,
because we've done it so far. But she was in the remaking of The Evil Dead, like the serious one that came out like a handful of years ago. So
she was also in Don't Breathe. Did you see Don't Breathe?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I love that movie. Yes, you're right. How could I forget that one? Yeah. Yeah, she was in Don't Breathe. That's a great horror movie.
Oof.
Yes, yeah. Woof. But yeah, so that's really, I feel like, what you need to know about that. It is a wild ride. And again, you can find that on Canopy on our Library app.
Absolutely.
All right. So now into Hearts Beat Loud.
Yes. So Hearts Beat Loud, also available on Canopy, is just adorable. You know, it's one of those movies I feel like you can watch with just about anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something like, it's a good movie to watch with your parents or your neighbor. It's not something that you need to screen too heavily, I don't think.
Yeah.
But it is about a record store owner named Frank, who has a record store in Red Hook in Brooklyn. And he has a daughter who is getting ready to leave for college. He's kind of broke, kind of down his luck guy. The record store isn't doing super great, but you can tell right away that he loves music and loves playing music. And he is feeling some feelings about his daughter getting ready to go off to college.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to move to UCLA. And so, you know, she'll be going across the country and they have weekly jam sessions. And he's super excited about these jam sesh days where she can blow off some steam and stop studying and play some music with him. So one day they're playing a song and they really hit on a melody that they think is pretty cool. They end up recording a song and Frank decides to put that song up on Spotify and they have this one hit on their hands. And it is just so great. It's Frank and his daughter, Sam. So Sam kind of has mixed feelings about what her dad's up to. And you can tell she's really ready to leave home. She's ready for the next phase of her life. And this song kind of keeps following them around as she's getting ready to leave. She's feeling pretty sentimental, I think, too. And eventually they end up playing the song live for people at the record store. And it's just so endearing. Not only do they play the song Hearts Beat Loud, which is the name of the song they write.
Little track song.
Yay! There's also a lot of other excellent music in this movie. It's very much a contemporary story. So it's told present day. And a lot of the music in it is indie bands that are still pretty popular.
Yeah, the whole movie felt very much like a sort of a like slice of life, kind of day in the life movie that was like the indie version of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of Nick Offerman, who is the star of this movie. He plays Frank and he's so excellent. If you're not familiar with Nick Offerman, he played Ron Swanson on Parks and Recreation.
One of my life inspirations.
He's the best. The show is the best. He was one of the best parts of the show. And he's also married to Megan Mullally from Will and Grace. Karen from Will and Grace.
Yes, I love them together too.
The two of them together so is amazing. And the very beginning of the movie, I knew that I was going to love this movie. Well, based on the storyline, I just kind of already had a lot going for it already. But the very beginning, when he is sitting in his record store, he's watching a video on his tablet, and it is Jeff Tweedy from Wilco playing with one of his bands, and I am like the world's biggest Wilco fan, and so instantly I was like,
"Oh, so you like the other part a lot?"
Yes. Yeah. And he, so I knew that I was going to like it, and also I am a huge fan of the movie High Fidelity, and this is, it's like the grown up version of High Fidelity. So High Fidelity is also about a guy who owns a record store. He is in a relationship that has started to fall apart, and his life is really about music and making top 10 desert island record lists and finding the most obscure music he can find. And this movie is as if Rob Gordon from High Fidelity grew up and had to do that all over again as an adult with a daughter. So if you're a High Fidelity fan, this is definitely right up your alley.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. The music is great. And there's just so much sweetness to this story. Like, it's, again, fathers and daughters, and they're in both instances. So same with Bang Bang Baby, the mom is gone and the dad has tried to raise the kid as best he could. And, you know, the kid is ready to go off and do her own thing. And it's just, it's very, very sweet and charming. And, you know, Frank is not perfect. He has his own struggles as well. Blythe Danner is also in this movie. She plays his mother and she has Alzheimer's and kind of starts wandering off. So he's got that to deal with as well. And
I got excited with every new character that was introduced into the movie. I was just like, I'm going to like this. Cause you've got, Blythe Danner. And then you've got Toni Collette walks in to buy a record. She's the landlord. You've got Ted Danson, who runs the bar that they go to. Just lots of fun. And then the actress that plays his daughter is fantastic. I haven't seen her in anything else, but I would love to. And this is a different character. Like, it's not so far off the mark, but it's a different character for Nick Offerman. Like, it definitely has, he's got like that edge to him as like the, you know, hip dad, you know, rock and roller guy. But he's definitely got more of a silliness to him. He's not afraid to be silly, and he's got more of a sensitive side to him.
What I really loved about Hearts Beat Loud, and somewhat to as in Bang Bang Baby as well, is just the impact that music has on people. Mm-hmm. And especially in the instance where someone owns a record store, there's this great scene where he's talking to Toni Collette's character, looking through some albums, and he gives her this Animal Collective album and tells her a song that she might like and shows her the album cover that has some holograms on it. And a little bit later, she comes back to the record store and tells him that she listened to the song and how much it means to her. And that is the key to me with sharing music with people. Mm-hmm. You know, it goes back to the element of like making someone a mixtape or yeah. sending someone a playlist that's like, I love these songs and I think you'll really like them too. Or like, this is my Monday morning playlist or my Friday night drive home playlist. And sharing that with people puts a memory into your head of every time you hear that song, you're going to think of that person now.
Yeah. And I love still that. Have those.
Yes.
I made two of my friends, like a year or two ago, I made two of my friends mix CDs.
Yes.
Because I was like, everybody now, like they make playlists for their friends on Spotify. And I was like, I don't like that because I can't wrap it and I can't give it to anybody. So I was like, I'm going to make them a CD. And both of them laughed at me, but like in a very like endearing way, like
sure. you
freaking mix CDs. Like, what is this? And I played it up, you know, I put like the X's on it and like wrote a title of it and like made it really emo and silly.
Oh yeah. It definitely has to have a title. Like it can't just be mixtape number yeah, one. Yeah, it has to be like Via's music for you on your Saturday afternoon or whatever.
Yeah. So yeah, I still love getting like, I will never be mad to get a mixtape.
Via's emo jams. That's yeah, great.
A lot of those.
I, when I first met my boyfriend, I lived in Chicago and was getting ready to drive back to Columbus and asked a bunch of friends to make me mix tapes or mix CDs, mm-hmm. whatever. This was 8 years ago. So I was like, send me mixes. I need music to listen to. I have a 6-hour drive. And he sent me a road trip CD and I had just met him. I didn't know him very well at the time. And so I was like listening to it on the way home and I was like, oh yeah, this guy has like excellent taste in music.
You're like sold.
Exactly. It was like, oh yeah. Okay. This will probably work.
I love that. That's like just the vibe of this movie too.
Yes, it's exactly right. Like, it's just great to know how, like when music means a lot to you, that it will also mean a lot to someone else. It's pretty great.
And the relationship, like the adorable relationship between Sam and her girlfriend was so happy to me. Like they were just so good together. And I was so sad. Like, I mean, it didn't exactly say that they broke up in the end. Because you know, that's one of the biggest things is Sam is so sure she's going to college. And then through her experiences of being with her girlfriend and making music with her dad, as much as she's trying to fight like that music because she wants to go. She wants to become a doctor. So she's going to college for that. And near like the very end of the film, you know, the record store has to close down because it's just not getting enough business anymore. And so right when it's about to close down the last night, she says, you know, what if I stay, Dad? And he's just like looking at her with like tears in his eyes. And I didn't know what the ending was going to be in that yeah. moment, because part of me was like maybe she does stay. Maybe like I feel like the message of the movie could have been so many ways. It could have been like, oh, maybe what you're looking for is right here. Or like, you know, no, like, no, you really need to go. And but his character was so interesting in wanting her to stay. That I really didn't, I could not predict the ending, but luckily I was very happy with the kind of, you have to experience change, like change happens, because that was, it was a little bit of a growing up story for all ages.
Yeah.
You know, the dad goes through it too. And so she ends up going to college and, but still writing music and still sharing it with her dad. And so, yeah, cool. it has a sweet ending, but definitely like melancholy, because right. his girlfriend is one of the reasons why she's having a really hard time, along with the music, in deciding if she's really going to leave or not in the end.
Well, and it's funny because it's not your typical going away to college movie. You know, usually it's someone who lives in a small town, they're in the suburbs and they can't wait to get out of their town and make it in the big city or whatever it is. And, you know, here's this girl who has this like practically burgeoning career as a band
right.
in the middle of Brooklyn. Yeah. And she's like, I still have to go to college.
Yeah, she's effortlessly cool without trying. Like,
yeah,
I've only been to New York once, and sadly it wasn't in Red Hook, but I was in Brooklyn, and it's a hip place. You know, I'm not a super big city person, but I like visiting them. And after seeing the movie, I was kind of sad. I was like, I would have loved to like walk around, and I don't know if it was like really filmed in Red Hook, but I'm sure it was filmed in Brooklyn somewhere probably.
I looked it up. It was, most of it was filmed in Red Hook, like the bar and the record store were shot there because the, when I saw Jeff Tweedy, so Jeff Tweedy is also a Chicago musician, and the record store looks like a record store that I thought was familiar, but it turns out that all record stores look pretty much exactly the same on the inside.
That's why we love them.
So I wanted to see where it was filmed, and it turns out that it was all filmed in Brooklyn, in Red Hook.
That's excellent. And shout out to, since we, you know, we have our own amazing little record shop here, shout out to Pat's Records, also called Endangered Species. Yeah, check that place out because it's wonderful. I have many, many albums from there.
Absolutely. It's super cool. I like that place a lot. There's a library. So the Upper Arlington Public Library has an excellent collection of music. They have CDs that you can check out, but they also have a vinyl collection.
Oh, cool.
So once libraries are back open to full usage, I would recommend a visit down there to UA because they have curated a really excellent vinyl collection, but you have to go into the library itself. They don't send those through deliveries because they're pretty fragile. I think the Grandview Public Library also circulates vinyl as well. So if you're up for a library road trip, check both those places out.
Yeah, they are sacred. You cannot put them in the shipping crates.
No. They would just turn up as dust.
I'd be so heartbroken.
It would be the worst.
Yeah. And in this movie, like, cause I have a few records, in my collection myself, and I related more to, Frank, to Nick Offerman's character than I did the daughter, but I understood her very well. Like they did a really good job with understanding all of the different feelings and motives and just like human qualities of these people. I felt the music in that movie, like, and in the end, like, I definitely teared up, like, I cried a little bit. I was like, oh, man, like, I love this, like, this movie gets me.
It does. It's just the sweetest. I was like, oh, who do I show this to? Like, more people need to see this, because I don't think it really had a huge release. I don't think a lot of people saw it.
I saw I remember seeing promos for it, but it might have been on one of my streaming apps. Yeah, I don't think it was on anything, but yeah, it's so amazing. I instantly recommended it to a few people. And the second that they created that, the first song that they write together is the Hearts Beat Loud song. Mm-hmm. Well, she had written it and they put music to it. But, as soon as they played that, I was in love. Like I remember like that was the song, I found myself singing over these past couple days. Like that one, I would just find myself singing as I walked around because I just absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
All the other songs are just as good, but yeah, that one is just like, there's something about that one.
Yeah, it was a good one. They also talk about the band Songs Ohio. If you haven't heard of them, they are fantastic. Look them up. And then there's another song. So Sam's girlfriend also recommends music to her. And I believe it's called, it's American Girl something, the song, and it was excellent. I looked that one up too because I thought that was a great track. I'm just looking it up. Mitski.
Oh yeah, I looked that one up too. Now
yeah,
I think about it, yeah.
Your Best American Girl, and that one was a really, really good one too. So great modern pop music in here, alternative music, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. We'll take a listen to. Do you have any other movie musicals that you would recommend on top of these two? Or would you recommend these two?
I would definitely recommend, I mean, I think people can tell that we would definitely recommend Hearts Beat Loud. And the last thing I wanted to say about that is that I thought of is one of the intro to Nick Offerman's character is really funny because I'm not really a fan of smoking, but he has a customer in there, and he's like, can you put out your cigarette, man? Like, I don't want you smoking in here. And he just like keeps smoking. And he's like, if you buy a record, I'll put the cigarette out. And I was like, that's so like, that just hits it on the nail for the persona of somebody that should work in a record shop.
Yes.
But also like, that's genius marketing. Like you get that sale.
Yeah, you get that. So that's funny. As soon as that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, this is High Fidelity, but for like the next generation. Yeah.
That was an excellent introduction. But yes. Oh gosh, other musical movies. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Julie Taymor movie Across the Universe, the one that does all the Beatles songs. I'm a huge fan of that movie. I think they do such a good job naturally incorporating that music into what's going on and just the background that they create for the story. There's so many musical movies that I feel like I watch. I don't know. Can you think of any?
The one that I was just thinking of, it's Anna Kendrick, and I can't think of the male lead. The Last 5 Years.
Oh, I haven't seen that, but I've heard of that.
I loved that musical, and the movie was pretty good. I mean, it's very simple. The storyline is interesting because the female character sings her songs from the end to the beginning of a relationship, and the male songs are end to beginning. They like kind of reverse. So they have this arc where they're each singing the relationship in one direction, and they meet in the middle and have a duet where they are like at this perfect point in their relationship. And it's a 5-year course of their time together. And the movie, I mean, it's pretty simple. There's just not a lot of characters in the movie, and the stage play is just two actors. So that one was pretty good. I'm trying to think of more like straight up musicals. Like there are tons of movies that I love for their soundtracks alone. Mm-hmm. And so like, I would feel like, you know, Hearts Beat Loud might fall more into that category of like music. It's a movie about music.
Yeah.
And not so much a musical in the traditional sense.
Yeah. And then of course there's, speaking of Anna Kendrick, there's the Pitch Perfect movies. Those are fun. Like,
yes.
I like those. I won't admit that I don't like those. There's, you know, Rocky Horror Picture Show, a good one. Yeah, I'm trying to think. Oh, I'm a big fan of, there's this one, it's a horror one. That's a weird one to be able to tie horror into musicals. There's a movie called Repo: The Genetic Opera.
Nice.
And it's like a goth rock opera. And that is one that does the like, oh, we're just going to sing all of our sentences randomly. But it works for some reason for me. Some of it's a little bit funny, but the soundtrack to that is fantastic. It has Anthony Stewart Head in it, who plays Giles on Buffy.
Oh, yeah.
And it has Alexa Vega, who plays she plays Carmen in the Spy Kids movies, which I would die for those movies.
So, nice.
But yeah, I'm a big fan. But yeah, from those kind of like kid movies. Yeah. Some fantastic people. Oh, my gosh. It has Sarah Brightman in it. And it's an adult movie. Like it's not like the kids should not watch this musical. But you know, it's a goth rock opera, and it's pretty cool.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. I don't think I have any further recommendations, but we'd like to hear from you if you have any favorite musicals or any movies that have excellent soundtracks that you would recommend. We also suggest that you check out all of these movies and all the other things available to you through Canopy. You can get to Canopy by visiting DelawareLibrary.org and going to our digital collection. You just need a library card to get those. And I've got to say, Canopy has an excellent collection. So if you want to make any recommendations or have any questions, you can email us at libraryguys@DelawareLibrary.org. And I'm Katie.
And I'm Via, and we will talk at you next month.
Excellent. We'll see you next time.
Join us next time for Library Guys Go to the Movies. For more information on any of the films or digital services we've discussed, please visit DelawareLibrary.org.